Good morning, everyone. I hope that you all had a joyful, peaceful and blessed Christmas. We come to the last Sunday of the year with a song in our hearts and praise in our lips, the words of our introit ringing in our ear. We come to remember the Christ child as he began his ministry. A ministry which was understood by the prophets and articulated by an old man and an old woman a week after his birth in the temple. We came because of the angel song. We came because of a star. And now we journey to the future, looking forward in faith. The notices are all on the order of service for your interest and attention. I won't be at the door at the end because I'm on my way up to Baldernock after the service. Let us worship God and sing to his praise and glory. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Shall we join together in prayers? Let us pray. The angel voices ring in our ears. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth. God and sinners reconciled. We bless you that in a few words, the angel's message draws us into your presence, just as it drew the shepherds to the manger and the wise men, following their star, found the infant as well. We bless you for their confidence as they came to greet you, and we bless you for the confidence that we have that as we come and meet you this morning, you will welcome us, because we know that you are love, and in your life we are made who we are. We thank you, God our Father, for all that Christ has done for us. We dare to ask you for everything we need, knowing that you will keep nothing back that is for our good. But we come here sometimes with our worries, maybe with our aches and pains, maybe with sorrow, deep need, nagging doubt. But in Christ you will give us the strength and you will keep our hope alive. We praise your name as we come here and offer ourselves as we think about the mistakes we've made since we last gathered together to worship, for the times when we think too well of ourselves, when other people's praise and admiration become too important to us, when compliments and a sense of our own well-being take precedence over truth and good. We offer those, knowing that you will forgive us, knowing that you will remake us, gathering us together in the humility of your Son, who was born in a manger, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, rose from the dead, ascended to be with you. Here is the kernel of our faith. So as we gather in humility, May people see the light of Christ in our lives. Help us to be your people as we look back on the year slowly finishing and look forward to the new year, when we ask that you would make us aware of your love and goodness, that we may travel with you in the compassion of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we gather our prayers, saying together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I came prepared this morning. I chose two readings, and I'm going to keep to the reading that was my original intention. I might use the other one later on in the service. But in the spirit of the hymn we've just sung, I would like to read you a young person's story from Luke chapter 2, 8 to 20. And think about it and hear the descants again ringing in your ears. And one person has made my decision the right one. Thank you so much. The story is called A City of Shepherds and Kings. In the hills round Bethlehem lived some shepherds. During the day they roamed the fields with their sheep, looking for grass. At night they would rest. Then they'd make a fire. They ate around the fire, and they told each other stories. Stories about the old days, about famous kings, or about brave people who had fought with lions. One night, they were talking about David, King David, because he had also lived in Bethlehem in the past, and like the men around the fire, he too was a shepherd. Now he really was a king, the shepherds said, and they gave him the thumbs up. A lot better than that useless King Herod who's sitting on the throne now, one said. King, another grumbled. Herod's no king. He's a thief and a murderer. Shut up, the other said, frightened. Someone might hear you. Watch out. If King Herod heard you say that, you'd be dead. The youngest shepherd boy began to sing a song by King David. The other shepherds sang along. Jerusalem, my dear city, where 100 birds sing of unknown things. No more hunger, no more pain. This will be my Jerusalem. Jerusalem, O city of peace, 100 dreamers have this dream. Suddenly, an angel came down from heaven, white as snow and shining like the sun. The shepherds were scared witless. They stopped singing. Don't be afraid, said the angel. I bring good news. The new king is born. The shepherds all started talking at the same time. A new king, they shouted. New king, where? The angel said, If you go to Bethlehem, you'll find the baby in a manger. And suddenly the shepherds saw a whole group of angels around the first one. They sang, Hooray for God who lives high up in heaven, and who crowns shepherds as kings. Hooray for God who teaches peace and love. God turns the world upside down. Then the angels were gone. The shepherds looked at each other. Come on, they said, let's go right now. They ran down the road. They were in such a hurry. They couldn't wait to see something miraculous in Bethlehem. They found the stable. A fire was still burning there. Next to the fire were Joseph and Mary. Between them, there was a manger, which normally the animals would eat out of. But not that night. That night there was a baby in it. It was wrapped in Mary's shawl. The shepherds leaned over the child. They told Joseph and Mary what the angel had told them. Joseph thought the story was very strange. A newborn king here in this stable? But Mary didn't think the story strange. She kept it deep inside her heart, in a place where she would never forget it. The shepherds left again, back to their sheep in the fields of Bethlehem. And when they huddled close to the fire because the night was cold, they sang a song, the song the angels had been singing. Hooray for God who lives up high in heaven, who crowns shepherds as kings. Hooray for God who teaches peace and love. And perhaps the manger down there will remind you of the essence of the gospel. Shall we sing again? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And thank you very much for coming down to the front. Our first scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, reading from verses 23 to 25, and then chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, and that's on page 1170 of the Pew Bible, and I will just read them through continuously. Listen for the word of God. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, a daughter. And since you are, God has made you also an heir. Thanks be to God. And in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 18, and that's on page 1063. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him everyone might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone who was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Thanks be to God. May God follow with his blessing the reading of his holy word, and to his name be all praise and glory. Amen. Our next hymn is number 604, "Holy Wisdom, Lamp of Learning." A word of prayer. Eternal God, draw us to your presence through Christ our Lord, whose name we praise. Amen. Two scripture readings, one complicated, the other at first sight quite straightforward, and then equally complicated. The Apostle Paul is trying to express the difference between what it meant to live under the law, under the rule of law, to be driven by the law, while on the other, John, in the beginning of his gospel, is explaining that the light of Christ, which John the Baptist, the last of the prophets, had pointed to. At one level, Paul's is an argument that really might not interest us very much. We live by faith, in faith. We walk by faith, with faith. And so Paul's debate about the law perhaps isn't as important as it might have been to the early church, which were still wrestling with the meaning of the incarnation and of the life of Christ. But it's a good place to begin. Every journey needs a beginning. And Paul, in about the only time in any of his letters, mentions Jesus' prayer, "Abba, Father." Paul emphasizes that we belong as Christians in a relationship as close as that. Despite our diversity, our different insights, our different understandings, to be able to say that prayer, Abba, Father, marks us out as people who have literally and figuratively seen the light. And I'd like for a few minutes today to reflect on what that might mean for us as we look back towards 2019 and forward to 2020. The longest journey begins with a small step. And so 18 months ago, an adventure began in Mulgaye for me. I hadn't intended it to be such an amazing adventure. In fact, I hadn't planned it to be an adventure at all. I never anticipated the adventure it would turn out to be. It began with a casual conversation and then an email exchange with my brother. It turned out he and my nephew planned to walk the West Highland Way. Would I like to meet up in Mulgaye to walk a bit of it with them? I wasn't sure about that for the simple reason that after far too many years of playing football, I needed my knees fixed. And this was surely going to be a test of the fixed knees. Anyway, the opportunity to meet up with my brother, who doesn't live in this part of the world, and indeed my nephew, who's London-based, was a good opportunity to catch up and enjoy their company. I said to them, well, if I can manage a mile, then I'll let you get on with it, and I'll go back to Mulgaye. And then I said, well, okay, I'll give it another mile and we'll see how we get on. And then I got to that point, the point where Drimmen and Mulgaye were equidistant. The turning point, the tipping point, the tripping point. It was complicated too by the fact that I knew what time I had to get the bus at Drimmen. A train felt altogether more reliable. However, I continued. I walked the first section of the West Highland Way. I parted company from my brother and my nephew, who were continuing the journey, and I got the bus home. But that day had sown for me an unexpected seed. I began to wonder to myself if I could do it. The wondering became a possibility. And as I thought about it, I was given a major hint by my wife, who bought me a decent pair of walking shoes. The ones I had used that first day really did look as though they had come out of the ark, and actually, they felt as though they'd come out of the ark. And so a week later I began at Drimmen, Balmaha, stopped there. Weather was rotten, not sure if I would get the ferry from Rowardennan back across Loch Lomond. Balmaha to Rowardennan, definitely wouldn't have got the ferry at Inversnaid to get me back across Loch Lomond. Rowardennan to Inverarnon. I didn't do it in consecutive days, you understand. It was spaced out. A few days here and there. The one section of the walk which is particularly challenging, I thought, is the stretch from Inversnaid to Inverarnon. The bonny banks are precipitous. There's not much to hold on to. The path, if you could call it that, really looks as though it's been hacked out of rock, and probably was. And after an hour and a half and about the same number of miles, I came to the ladder. Yep, a ladder. It was the only way over the last section I looked at it with a sense of gloom and foreboding and thought, oh no. But I was past the tipping point. I conquered the ladder and made my way on through Glenfalloch and on up. It was amazing at a number of levels because I have travelled the A82 thousands of times on the west bank of the loch. The east bank had been a new adventure and I had conquered it. During my travels, I had made many memories. And as I got to the bit where the path crosses from Loch Lomond's side into Glenfalloch, I looked back down the way I'd come. First the moor, then the top of the loch, then all the way down till it disappears somewhere opposite Pulpit Rock. It's a parable for today for us. We look down the way we have come. We have memories that we may not even be aware of now. The miles and the memories have been achieved. And as I stepped across the watershed, I looked to the path ahead with no memories. I just wondered if I would manage. Would I be able to do it? Paul is looking back in the letter to the Galatians. He knew what he wanted to say. He knew what he'd heard on the road to Damascus. He found his way to Christ, not through the singing of the angels or a bright shining star, but in a vision which blinded him on the way to Damascus. And if you want Paul's testimony, have a read of it in Galatians, or better, in Acts. As we glance through the vista of the year which is gone, I have a number of memories. High among them, in my relationship with you as members of St. Paul's, is the fact that I'm here because your minister is unwell. Fergus's memories are probably completely different from ours. The path ahead, unexpected, difficult for Fergus and Gabrielle and the family. And the way ahead is a journey yet to be taken. Each of the times I have been here, I've used a prayer that Ken composed on the very first Sunday I was here 10 months ago. Let's pause and remember Fergus and Gabrielle as Fergus prepares for the next stage of his journey through treatment. Lord, we pray especially today for Fergus, friend and minister to the congregation gathered here, to Gabrielle and their family, as Fergus goes through this time of treatment. We would ask you to be with him and Gabrielle as they face the future with uncertainty and anxiety. Lord, bring them assurance that you are there with them, both bringing a sense of your peace and your blessing in the difficult days that lie ahead. Each time I have seen Fergus, or emailed Fergus, or spoken to Fergus, and indeed Gabrielle on the phone, I finish with the one word, Hebrew prayer, Shalom. It means healing peace, body, mind, and spirit. And that is the peace which the angel song tells us about. The peace of God which is beyond all understanding. The peace of God which marks our memories and lights our path to the future. Looking back down the vista of the year, I recognise, for example, that the General Assembly in May was of vital importance for the future of Christ's Church, or at least for the Church of Scotland. Changes all around the Church now. In the National Church, centrally, at presbyteries, and undoubtedly too for congregations. Craig Renton, who's acting General Secretary of the Ministries Council, wrote in an excellent article in that magazine, Ascend, "We are living through changing times." And he goes on, "These are inspiring times for our church. This year's General Assembly has been referred to as the most important of the 20th century. He goes on, "We recognise that change is necessary. It's long overdue. We appreciate the challenge and the changes which lie ahead. But we are not intimidated because we do not face these alone. We have one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have the Lord who stands with us and gives us strength." That's a gift to carry to the future, whatever your circumstances, whether of joy or sorrow, or at this stage, unknown. Looking back, I recognise that you as a congregation have been very supportive of one another and, of course, of Fergus and Gabrielle and the family. I recognise too that worship has been sustained here by several people. Your interim moderator has given his time and his congregation has been willing to share their ministry with you. As Presbytery Clerk, I recognise the demands on all those who are helping to sustain this journey. I wonder what opportunities the new year will bring to enable the journey to continue for as long as it needs to, but hopefully not too long. Might the new year give opportunities for easing workloads? Might the new year offer opportunities for active mutual support? For at the moment, my friend and colleague Ramsay Shields are attempting to undertake the work of three. We're looking forward in the life of the church. We're looking forward in our personal journey of faith. We're looking forward in words of the prayer for understanding, that we may find a way to serve differently. I will leave that thought with you as we begin to step across the stepping stone provided by St. Paul and to the threshold into the new year and the Gospel of John and its poetry, which turns Christmas into a new perspective. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot defeat it. He came to his own, full of grace and truth. Remember the words of the poem, which I think are so germane, and gather my words together this morning. The poem, The Gate of the Year, its title, God Knows. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. Shall we pray? Your hand in ours, our hand in yours. May we mark your footsteps and hold firm to the one who said, peace I give you. Amen. Christ is our light, the bright and morning star, hymn 336. Shall we pray? God of all grace, God of all generosity, we bring you these gifts and we offer them to the life and work of the advancing of your kingdom. Take these gifts which we bring together with each one of us and use us where and when and how your will directs. Through Christ our Lord. As we come in gratitude and thanksgiving, we come with Jesus, your uniquely precious Son. We come to join our will with yours as we pray for our world. How we long for the angel song to become a reality for every human being. How we long for that time when there will be no more weapons, no more wars, no more disease, no more pain, no more hunger, no more injustice. How we long for the reign of the Prince of Peace. As we come today, offering the angel song to our troubled world, we pray that you will keep answering it through the faithfulness of your people. Bring your healing touch, your light and love and grace and peace. For we offer them in our prayers as Christmas gifts to our world, as valuable as the gold and frankincense and myrrh of the wise men. As we remember our world, we remember our communities, our homes, the people we know, sometimes the people we don't know. We pray for those for whom the Christmas season has been marked by tragedy and suffering. Those for whom the Christmas season has been unexpectedly difficult. May your light shine into the darkness, that the darkness may not defeat it. We remember those with whom we worship today in this congregation as it serves the parish. May each be strengthened in your love. May each know that you do guide the future as you have the past. In all things, may your grace and truth inspire. And whether we come here today with joy or sorrow or anxiety, we gather our own prayers together in the silence of this place that we may hear you. Gracious God, you have heard our prayers. Fill us with faith that even now you are answering them, for we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A couple of things just to mention before the end of the service. First, if you're wondering what the note was that there was handed on my right, it said, "Please intimate there is no evening service this evening." So, no evening service this evening. And the second thing I would like to say, when 2020 comes, may it be for you a new year which is blessed with the light and love and grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we conclude our service? Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. Now go in the love, the peace, the light and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of you and everyone you love, today and always.